You are listening to the Supermoms Getting Tired podcast. I'm your host, Tori Henderson, and this is episode 166. All links and show notes can be found by going to lifecoachingforparents.com/166. Welcome to the Supermom is Getting Tired podcast. This show is designed for moms who invest everything into parenting, but get overwhelmed, lost, and resentful. Listen and learn how to unburden yourself, feel calm, full of energy, and in control. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach, teacher, and recovering supermom, Tori Henderson. Hello, supermoms. I am in my childhood bedroom at my parents' house recording this podcast. Today, we're talking about the Enneagram Type 7. But before we get started, I want you to know that I am doing a Tiny Goals Challenge. I'm doing this with a former client turned life coach, Loyann Kovar. And we are going to be doing this inside the Facebook group, Supermoms Getting Tired. So when you're listening to this, it's probably already started, but it's not too late to join. We are going to do it starting March 11th through March 17th. So you're going to pick one tiny goal to start building momentum in a positive direction that you want to grow in. So it might be to declutter one drawer, or walk around the block every day, or floss your teeth every night, or something that is going to help you grow in the direction that you want to be moving. So get on over there and join in on our Tiny Goals Challenge. When I did it in Leanne's Facebook page, she did it, and I really noticed the benefit of having it sort of top of mind and every day sort of having checked back, like, did I do it? You know, having people to celebrate with when I did it, and then having sort of a compassionate, forgiving place when I didn't, and being able to like reflect on why didn't I? And so it was really, really helpful. So I hope that you will join the Tiny Goals Challenge. But for now, let's start talking about the Enneagram Type 7. Why? Because I'm excited. Because Type 7s are always excited. These are the enthusiasts, the adventurers. I started looking at how many of my friends would fall into this category. Like, I really gravitate towards Type 7s, I think, because everybody gravitates towards them. They are a super fun group of people. Sevens are defined by their desire to experience everything life has to offer while avoiding pain and boredom. They appear to others to be lively, fun-loving, optimistic, and extroverted. Sevens are often very busy people who bounce from one activity to another in their quest to squeeze every possible bit of enjoyment out of life. I know when people learn about the Enneagram, so many times they're like, I want to be a seven. It sounds like a fun way to live. But just like all the types, there is a downside and things you want to watch out for to make sure you're a healthy seven. So the core fear for the seven is getting stuck in a rut and missing out on the good life. They cope with this fear of being deprived by constantly seeking out exciting, novel, and fun experiences. So the core desire is to feel satisfied and content and to have their needs fulfilled. Okay, so satisfaction and contentment are emotions that sort of elude the Type 7. They have a fear of being bored, of being sad or uninspired. They are motivated to maintain their freedom and happiness by staying excited and occupied. If you have a Type 7 child, you probably know it. Type 7s are playful, spontaneous, and versatile, keeping busy with a wide variety of interests. They have terrible FOMO. They probably invented FOMO. FOMO, the fear of missing out. It is so toxic, and especially in this world of like social media where you can see other people having fun. These sevens are so afraid of missing out on every juicy bit of life that they can often run themselves ragged trying to experience it all. Enneagram Type 7 moms are a joy to be around. Their enthusiasm for life, curiosity, and creativity makes everyday activities fun and engaging for children. Like, just imagine you've got this like Energizer bunny who's constantly coming up with new ideas and fun things to do. And let's have a contest. Who can clean their room the fastest? These are the sevens. They're also known as the epicure, which I had to look up because I have not used that word before. And then epicure is someone who takes pleasure in fine food and drink. For example, when my friend's kiddo asked her what was for dinner, she responded with, picture this, tender pasta ribbons cradled in a rich, velvety sauce bursting with the vibrant flavors of sun-kissed tomatoes from Tuscany. Aromatic garlic and fragrant herbs envelop each strand with its hearty embrace, delivering a symphony of savory goodness to your palate. And then she looks at me and says, spaghetti with ragu sauce. I can sell anything. Enneagram 7 parents are often imaginative and creative, which can lead to innovative approaches to problem solving, right? These are the parents who turn cleaning up the garage into a contest or a game or a challenge or something. They're really good at making the chores more fun. Sevens are flexible and open to new experiences, making them This is a really big one. This is like where sevens get that gold star, is they're willing to adapt to their children's changing needs, personalities, and desires. So if your daughter decides she wants to become vegan, the seven's like, okay. And if then the next year the daughter wants to identify as a they, them, and non-binary, okay. And then they want to dye their hair purple and become an astronaut. Okay. So the sevens are really good at adapting to the children's changing needs because sevens have an adventurous spirit. Like, why wouldn't they? They encourage exploration and curiosity, and they can foster the sense of adventure and discovery in their children. Enneagram 7 parents are often resourceful and quick thinking. They find solutions to challenges that arise in parenting. And memories keep popping into my head. I led a Girl Scout troop and my co-leader was a 7. And trying to like take them on a camping trip where I think I'm this 6 who likes to predict all the things that could go wrong. And she is this 7 who does not think about anything that could possibly go wrong and is just quick thinking and resourceful, like, yeah, we'll figure it out. No sleeping bags. Oh, well, we forgot the tent. Oh, no firewood. Oh, we have to feed them. Like, it was a very funny and probably beneficial mix to have a type 6 with a type 7 as Girl Scout leaders. Enneagram 7 parents are generous. They enjoy sharing experiences with their children. And so they're generous with their time and their attention, unlike the type 5 who might need to retreat to the bedroom and get some alone time and sort of need that downtime. The 7 is like, nope, let's do it all and we'll do it all together. Sevens can also be very sensitive to their children's emotions and strive to create a nurturing and supportive environment. They have a lot of empathy and they're able to see possibilities. These Enneagram 7 parents inspire their children to dream big and pursue their passions with enthusiasm and determination. So they love this like dream big, go after your goals. Like, you know, anything you want is possible. Live your dreams. So the challenge for type 7 is if they have the kid who says, well, I just want to, I don't know, like work at a coffee shop or something. And the 7 might be like, wah, wah. Like, we're going to own 10 coffee shops and they're all going to be named after you. So it's the fear of boredom that really plagues the 7s. And in 7s internally downplay negative emotions. So not just boredom, but other negative emotions. And they can easily find a positive reframe for any situation. This sunny optimism, it totally is uplifting and inspiring, but it can also feel a bit out of touch with reality. Because sometimes we want validation for our negative emotions. And there are disappointments that happen when you are a human living a human existence. And so it can be frustrating to only be allowed to focus on the silver linings. So for example, I had a friend who is always praising her kids' activities, speaking about it in very high regard. If they were on the swim team, it was the best swim team ever. It was the greatest invention. Their kids were loving it and thriving it with the most amazing coaches in the world. But then when I checked in with her a year later and asked why they weren't doing swim team again, she had nothing bad to say. She would praise the beauty of creative, self-initiated play and an open-ended summer schedule. And then the following summer, you'd say, what are your kids doing? Like, oh, they're in Boy Scout camp this summer. And, oh, Boy Scouts is amazing. And now they're doing blah, blah. So whatever they were doing, whichever school they were in or activity they were in, it was always the very best. Even when she ended up changing or transferring, she refused to say a negative word. So what that did for me was that it made our relationship very superficial. I couldn't complain about anything. If I was going through a hard time with one of my kids, she was the last person I'd want to tell because she wasn't vulnerable enough to admit things weren't perfect. And so I didn't want to be vulnerable with her and admit things are perfect because she would try to put a positive spin on it, find the silver lining. And so I just went to other moms who are more understanding and compassionate. Bright and expressive. Sevens see the world as their playground, making their wide-eyed enthusiasm for life an easy match for raising children. Sevens are imaginative. They're creative. They're thinking is fueled by creativity. So they excel in coming up with new ideas and initiating experiences. So this is great for raising kids, but they can sometimes struggle with focus and self-discipline and like stick-to-itiveness. Sevens, now this is interesting, okay? If you're thinking you might know a seven, I want you to listen and see if this sounds familiar or if you're one. Sevens are quick and agile learners. Able to learn new information and skills quickly. They tend to be very like kinesthetic. So they might learn a new sport easily, as well as a new language, as well as a new computer program, like mind and body. Okay. They learn it and they synthesize it and they put it to good use in a very short period of time. Okay. So this ability to be good at many things without much effort can cause them to be a bit directionless in life. They can have that imposter syndrome because their wide-ranging curiosity and ease with acquiring new skills means they don't always value what they offer compared with someone who has worked really hard to achieve the same level of success. And so it makes sense, right, that they have this sort of imposter syndrome because you're like, well, I didn't really work that hard, and yet everybody keeps hiring me or everyone wants to work with me or I can sell more than the other guy who's been here for 30 years. And so there can be this imposter syndrome sometimes and this sort of like, if they really knew the real me, that, you know, I'm not really worthy of that success. And so with the fives and the sixes, the work of the seven is to learn to trust their inner guidance. Sevens keep anxiety at arm's length by keeping busy and looking forward to new things. Raising children gives sevens focus and endless opportunities to engage with new experiences. So that's why it's such a nice match, because that wide-eyed enthusiasm that sevens have matches the wide-eyed enthusiasm of children. Unless and until they get sick, injured, or are introverted fives who are easily overstimulated by life in the world, or perhaps they're forced to quarantine due to global pandemics, then it's a challenge to raise children for these sevens, right? When they have a personality that's so contradictory to theirs, they're adaptable, they're flexible, they're compassionate and empathetic, but it does challenge them. So Carrie came to life coaching during COVID lockdowns. She was struggling to keep her kids focused on their Zoom classes while focusing herself on completing projects at her marketing job. Carrie also had herself cleaning out the attic, building a home gym, learning to play piano, and teaching her kids to cook. There were no complaints, of course, coming from Carrie. She just wanted tips and tools to keep her kids focused on their Zoom classes. But as we talked, I started to get a fuller picture because, of course, she doesn't complain that those type sevens don't like to talk about anything. But you got to listen closely to hear a type seven complain. Like, if one more kid asks me what's for dinner before 10 a.m., I don't know what I'm going to do, but everything's great and I love it. I'm so grateful. Okay, that's the type seven's complaint. So with Carrie, she was drinking every night. She had difficulty sleeping. And deep down, under, you know, though she had a hard time admitting it, she was scared. She was scared about her family getting COVID, and she was deathly afraid of boredom. Once we addressed Carrie's fears, her anxiety calmed down. She no longer needed to run away from herself by keeping her brain busy and keeping her life filled. So she started drinking less and sleeping more once we addressed the fears and her anxiety could relax. We used her long list of projects to help her tune into her inner guidance and prioritize the things that helped her feel balanced. So Carrie learned that she was using excitement to distract herself from her anxieties. And what she yearned for the most was the feeling of contentment. Joy, enthusiasm, happiness, super easy to come by. What she really yearned for was peace and contentment. So we practiced it. By the end of our 12 sessions, she had a clear vision of what she wanted to accomplish during COVID lockdowns with tools to keep kids focused and herself, a structured schedule, which she had been craving, but, you know, sevens love spontaneity and flexibility, so they kind of resist schedules and structure, even though they sometimes really benefit from it. So whenever Carrie got frenetic or felt the urge to start drinking or really a sense of urgency at all, that she used that sense of urgency as a reminder to drop into her body and feel her feelings. She slowed down. She asked herself, what is the feeling I'm trying not to feel right now? She learned how to process her negative emotions in a quick and easy way, and then practiced this feeling of contentment that she was trying to cultivate. Once she stopped avoiding her negative emotions, Carrie's playful and creative spirit made lockdowns fun for the whole family. Here are three questions to help determine if you might be a type seven. Can you find a silver lining to almost every situation and easily reframe negatives into positives? Number two, do you constantly seek new and stimulating people, ideas, or events to keep life exciting, adrenalized, and moving forward? Number three, do you have trouble sustaining your focus on projects, people, and conversations without considerable effort? So some of the struggles that the Enneagram Type 7 might have while parenting is a difficulty with routine. They may struggle to establish as well as maintain consistent routines, which can be challenging for children who thrive on predictability, which I think we talked about before. Like, all kids thrive on predictability, but some kids especially need predictability, depending on their personality. So the second thing a parent might struggle who's a Type 7 is impulsiveness and risk-taking. So sometimes sevens can act impulsively without fully considering the consequences, which can lead to maybe inconsistency in discipline or in decision-making, or sometimes just not thinking through that, like, bad things might happen. So if you're that type, partner up with the six to lead a Girl Scout troop. That six will look for all the things that could go wrong. All right, number three that parents can struggle with is an avoidance of conflict. Enneagram 7 parents may shy away from confrontation or difficult conversations, which can hinder, you know, effective communication within the family, but also prevent moms from setting boundaries and being labeled as, like, the bad guy because they want to be the fun guy or the fun gal. So they want to avoid the conflict. Number four is restlessness. Enneagram 7 parents may have difficulty staying focused on long-term goals or commitments, which can be unsettling for children who crave stability. So again, the Type 7 parent might want to move houses every few years just because they're avoiding boredom and they're avoiding predictability. And so they might uproot their kids, or they want to put their kids in tons of activities because they need the stimulation, where maybe the kids really don't. Number five, a tendency to overcommit. Enneagram 7 parents can take on too many obligations or activities, leaving little time for quality bonding. And the last one is, of course, FOMO, the fear of missing out. They may feel compelled to constantly seek out new experiences, which can detract from their ability to feel content in the current life that they currently have. Sevens are very future focused. And so anytime they can bring their presence back to like the present moment is good. What sevens gain from life coaching? Number one is to process negative emotions and trust that their needs will be met. Number two, the ability to feel calm and satisfied in the quiet moments of life. Number three, to prioritize their many passions and move forward with goals that truly matter rather than just kind of seeking the next like adrenaline high. We want to get to like the ones that you really want. And then number four, to trust and rely on their inner guidance. So I was working on a somatic mind-body coaching program and I needed some people to practice on. Nevaeh was having pain on her side of unknown origin. The doctors couldn't find any explanation for her pain, and it was causing her anxiety. I walked her through an exercise of listening to her body. I asked her to name five things on her to-do list and then notice how the body responds to these tasks. The goal was to be able to identify the difference between the brain and the body. What does the brain say about it? And what does the body say about these different tasks on your to-do list? Okay, because sometimes we can lie to ourselves or convince ourselves that we like things that we don't, or just sometimes we can be surprised that our bodies actually like things and have a different opinion than the brain. So when we asked her body how it felt about going on her daily run, her body gave a negative reading. Heavy, constricted, tight. But Nevaeh did not like this response. She quickly dismissed it, saying very enthusiastically, "I love my morning run. It's the best part of my day. I'm training for a triathlon. I have to run. Running makes me feel better." This was such a great example of how her brain was saying she loved running, but her body was telling a different story. Nevaeh's type 7 personality did not want to recognize that there was anything negative getting in the way of her fun run and her goals and her excitement of what she was trying to achieve. She did not want to slow down and rest, even though her body was asking for exactly those two things, to slow down and rest. So the problem with overriding the body is that this is where our inner wisdom comes from. Our intuition, our inner guidance speaks to us through these subtle physical sensations. When Nevaeh ignored the heaviness and the fatigue, her body screamed louder through this side body pain, trying to get her attention. Sevens are the most prone to addiction because of their adrenaline-seeking and happiness-seeking tendencies. Seven's fear of being deprived of happiness and being held captive by negative emotions and pain and suffering is really deep-seated fear. This idea that if I open the door to a negative emotion, it's going to swallow me whole and I'll never be able to find my way out is something that I encounter a lot when I coach the sevens. The work of the type seven is to learn to trust their inner knowing and to be able to process these like quieter, darker emotions in an effective way so that you can get back to being your joyful self, because it's wonderful to be joyful. But avoiding the shadow side of life and avoiding negative emotions is not the way to be whole and healthy. It's the way to develop an addiction or anxiety. There's a quote from French philosopher Blaise Pascal who says, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone." Well, that is certainly true for the Enneagram Type 7. So here are three tips for Enneagram Type 7 moms. Number one, learn to sit quietly in a room alone. Taken straight from Pascal. If you can't do 5 minutes, do 1 minute. If you can't do 1 minute, do 30 seconds. You start off very small. Join the Tiny Goals Challenge and do it with us. My challenge is to sit for 1 minute and just breathe. If that is too scary or stressful, then do it while you're going for a walk in nature. If you sitting still is too triggering, then try going for a walk, you know, meditating. These things are the reason it's important is to learn to sit quietly alone in a room is because then you can do it for 1 minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And you now have evidence to prove that nothing bad happened, that you were quiet, you were bored, and you survived. The universe is supporting you. You don't have to be afraid to sit quietly alone in a room. So finding that place of stillness through meditation or breath work or, you know, going to restorative yoga for type sevens, this might be a big challenge where like regular vinyasa, fast-paced power yoga is like not a problem, but just that learning to slow down. Okay. Second tip for Enneagram Type 7 moms is to start tuning inward and learn to understand the voice of your inner wise guide. It's not urgent. It's not a craving. It's not jumpy. It's not loud. Our inner wisdom speaks softly through subtle physical sensations of, ready? Write it down. Remember this, constriction or expansion. If something is a yes for you, you're going to notice a lightness, an openness, some sort of expansion. If something is a no for you, if it's not good for you, you're going to notice constriction or tightness or heaviness in the body. So these signs are subtle unless you ignore it for years, because your inner wisdom will never leave you. So that pain can get louder and hard to ignore. It's not going to go away because this is your inner guidance trying to steer you into a life that's right for you. So you want to listen to the whispers and not wait to get smacked upside the head. Okay? So if you're going to start tuning inward and understand this voice, practice on little easy things. Do I want tomato soup or minestrone soup? Do I feel like running on the treadmill or riding the bike? Just learn to listen how your body communicates in these subtle ways so that you can learn to trust it and not always need external adrenaline and excitement and busyness. Okay, number three, the third tip for Enneagram Type 7 moms is to be mindful of the tendency towards addiction and to find a safe space to help you access the more scary and vulnerable emotions. We need access to all our emotions in order to be whole. When we try to pick and choose, like I just want excitement and joy and enthusiasm, and I'm going to just shove down the other ones, that's what turns into anxiety, because we either have access to all of our emotions or none of them. And so therapy, life coaching, AA groups can all help to you evolve into wholeness and have a really, really good time without hiding from your fears. Because you sevens have a lot to offer the world, and we want you to be at your best in health and so that you can be this bright and shining light that we need in our world. So I hope that you enjoyed today's podcast about the Enneagram Type 7. Remember to jump in the Facebook group to not just talk about this type. If you think you're a 7, let us know, but also to join the Tiny Goals Challenge. And we'll be doing it all throughout the week. So I look forward to seeing you there. Take care. Want a free life coaching session? Go to lifecoachingforparents.com and schedule yours today. And thank you so much for listening. I would love it if you would subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on the air, go to lifecoachingforparents.com/recordmyquestion, and you can send me a voicemail recording or write me an email, and I'll answer it on the air. Thanks again. Have a great day.